This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast that are 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in the games media combined. We thought we'd throw our hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of that conversation, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. Or if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
If you want to show your love for pop culturists on your body, head to popculturists.com/shop, where you can buy shirts like this one and that one and the other ones that we have, as well as like mugs and bags and pillowcases. We also should say that we are on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturists, where we are now Twitch affiliated. So come over there, give us a follow, join in the chats. Come watch me drink and play State of Decay and then feel a little bit worse for wear the next day.
That whole spiel can just be like brought down to everything you can think of
in the description
slash the pop culturists.
Mostly.
It's, I mean,
branding like a motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. It's disgusting. It disgusts me.
Oh, it's the worst.
But that whole side of things, I'm just like, okay.
The business.
Yeah.
The business of the pop culturists. Hey, AVG, go away.
Fuck off, AVG.
Hey, wait, man.
Swell.
Good to hear.
Little tired. Had, you know, young boys sleep over to play with each other, not me.
Oh. Woo!
could have phrased that better. Alex had a friend sleep over last night.
You know, kids as they do the up, like, running around. Yeah, like 4 in the morning.
Nerf guns and stuff. And, yeah. You know, the drum kit came out for some reason at some point.
I still need to come play that drum kit.
And then at 6 a.m, it's like, can we get Maccas for breakfast? I'm like, what? Get the fuck out of my room.
Who the fuck are you?
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's, yeah.
Well, they up to the lots of Fortnite, I assume?
They did, yeah. Mm. Yeah, smashed it out. No victories, though. Close. Third on the last attempt. But.
Bill Burns. What have you been playing, though?
Phlegm.
Hmm.
Pre-purchased the WoW expansion.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
Unlock the Allied races, so I'm leveling up one of them.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, because you got like an allied race. I mean, you got like your Taurens, yeah?
Yeah.
But now you can get like the High Mountain Tauren, which are like different models. So, you know, that's a thing. Yeah, that's the thing. I've been playing that. And Dragon's Crown Pro.
So thank you very much to the lovely gentlemen at and ladies at Five Star Games for providing us the code for that one. So you told me a little bit last week. So you said it was like a D&D side-scroller beat-em-up.
Yeah, think of it. Side-scrolling hack and slash RPG. So while, because it was originally out on the Vita and the PS3 in 2013, you can bring your save file over.
Ooh,
from them.
Did you?
No.
Oh.
I couldn't find it. I
mean, oh, you couldn't find the Vita?
No, I couldn't. Like, I'm just like, find the save file, but it couldn't, so I might have uninstalled it on the Vita when I ran out of room. Like,
yeah,
years ago.
You've lost the save.
Yeah, I might have lost it. Yeah. But because I want to start fresh anyway. So they've given it the 4K treatment.
Ooh.
They've re-recorded the soundtrack. Same tunes, but, you know, re-recorded. Soundtrack's spiffy. Real spiffy. Looks good. Like, I can't see it in 4K, but it's got such a unique...
Is it being sampled down? Does it look like sharper than your average game because of that?
It does, yeah. So, I don't see how putting it on a 4K TV would make it look any better, because to me, like, everything's sharp. Everything's crisp. The colours are nice and vibrant. They contrast really well. But it's got a really unique art style. So... you can't really lose too much in it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fun. Like, so it's just like dungeon crawling and loot hoarding and all that kind of stuff. And that's the kind of games I love. You know, I put 500 hours into Diablo 3 and more into Diablo 2. Like, those kind of games where you can just kind of re-repeat content to try to get better gear.
Well, something to it. Like, so what's the story? Like, what's how's it work?
Well, the story is there's a king who took... all these men to find this legendary item called the Dragon Crown,
mm-hmm.
which lets you control dragons, and you haven't heard from him for a while, and then you figure out why.
So you gotta find him.
Yeah. But a lot happens in between, and I need to start a second playthrough because there are a fair few points in the story where you do get dialogue options, which is where that whole like D&D thing... Because all the dialogue is read to you from a narrator, which kind of makes you not have to read so much, which is really good.
I like that already.
I like not reading. It's good. Big fan. But I'm not sure at this point what would happen if I chose other dialogue options and if that changes anything further on. I do love, because you've got, you go to the world map and then you can go to all your places and stuff. But the town is cool because the town is just a single stretch of, you know,
like a road.
Like a road. And then as you play through the game, you unlock. Now you can enter the Adventurer's Guild where you get your quests. Now you can unlock the church. Now you've unlocked the merchant, the inn's right at the end, you know. So it has a real, like, homey kind of town feel and all that kind of. It's really cool. And it does have couch co-op. A lot of people will like that.
Ooh, very cool.
Because you can fill your party with up to four.
All four?
Yeah, you can fill your party up to four people.
Do you want to play it on the 12-hour stream?
We could do that. I'd have to bring my PS4, though.
That's fine.
But
I might buy it. Because you kind of tickle my interest.
But when you're not playing with anyone, you can hire other adventurers to fill out your party. So as you're going through the levels, you find piles of bones. You pick them up. When you finish whatever quest you're on, you take them to the church. They can resurrect the bones into the adventurer they were previously. And then they hang out in the inn. And you can go like, all right, you and you, let's go. And you can kind of build your party around kind of what you like. So I'm playing as a fighter. So the game doesn't really have... From the start, it doesn't have a difficulty level. You do unlock difficulty levels later, but some classes are recommended for veteran players and some for novice because they're like
complications.
So the fighter is normal. You know, sword and shield, you can kind of build around being like a tanky kind of guy because you can buy skills from the guild to kind of customize how you want to be. And then I've filled out my party with a couple of ranged characters. So I'm like up front, like blocking and, you know, deflecting and parrying and stuff while they're all behind me going, you know, and throwing spells and stuff like that. Because I tried playing the wizard. It's too hard. Too hard for, like, because I'm just used to smashy, smashy.
Same as me. Like, I'm not really... That's why I never play, like, some sort of controller or healer in those sort of games, because I can't stand back and go... I'm like, oh, I gotta get in there.
But the way the levels work is, you know, you go through the level, and there's a boss at the end of every level. But later on, you come back and an alternate path levels up. So you go through a different way through the level to a new area. There's a new boss there. And throughout the level, you're picking up bones that you can resurrect at the church for more party members. But there's also chests and all that that you unlock. And you get gear, and the gear has a rating out of the chest, whether it's S, A, B, C, D, or E. And that kind of gives you an idea of how good that gear is. But you don't get to keep the gear unless you finish the level. So you got that kind of risk kind of thing going on.
So you might have
found
forward.
You might have found the best gear, like all S rank gear, which is like, you know, the really good stuff. But you might die, and then you get nothing.
So is it procedurally generated, or are they?
No, not the layout isn't, but the enemies you face and where they are and how they come about and the different traps in the level are.
Okay.
So in a way, yes, the layout is the same, but what's inside the layout does change.
So if you do die, do you drop your loot, you can come and collect it later, or is it just gone?
Gone. Just restart the level, try again.
Ouch.
So it's not the easiest game out there, but it is very satisfying.
Sounds rewarding.
The combat is very... there's just a lot of depth. You've got limited inventory space, so you've got like your weapon, your shield, and then all this treasure that you find, you take it to the merchant, and she'll, because it's all question mark gear, like you don't know what it is, and she'll, for a fee, she'll like identify it so you can see the bonuses, add them into your limited gear slots. Or if you're fighting, so you can, with my fighter, I've gone for like strong knockback stuff, so I'm looking for all this gear that has knockback, so when
push
I get something,
back from
it,
the
you know, knocks them back, and then I can jump forward or throw my weapon at them and stuff like that. But you can, there's a lot of depth and customization, more than you'd think kind of just looking at it. You're like, well, I'm a fighter, I use a sword and shield, I go yeah. But because you can purchase your skills in the order you want to purchase them and wear different kinds of gear with different kinds of bonuses, you know, you can really kind of build your own character.
Outside of building your own character, can you then upgrade the remainder of your squad? Can you go in there and, all right, I'm going to tweak with your abilities, can I tweak with you? Okay.
No. So as you resurrect them, you get to see this is the gear they have, this is their level, this is their health pool, and they just play automatically. Okay. Unfortunately, they're dumb as a doorknob. Like, they follow kind of right behind you. So if you walk around a spike trap and go past it, they'll take the shortest route to you, which is
so you have
straight
to,
through
you
the
have
trap.
To go slow.
So you do have to think about how you're traversing the environment because your party are stupid. They're idiots. But they get the job done. But, you know, another challenge is to play without a party and play by yourself, which is much harder. But I found with the full party, probably my biggest critique of the game is there's a lot going on the screen sometimes. Okay. Like, it's just, I feel like it would benefit a lot from being able to pan the camera back a bit.
Do you feel that it's more than what the, because once again, I don't know what the upgrades are between the Vita and the and the PS4 version. Do you think they've upgraded the amount of sprites in there, or is it I imagine it would run better anyway.
What do you mean upgraded?
You know, as in, because you said there's a lot going on at screen at once. Mm. Do you think there's more going on screen than there was for the Vita version?
No, it's the same. Okay. Exactly the same. But I don't know. I think you notice it more on a bigger screen because your avatar, your character, will take up probably height-wise about just over maybe 60% of the screen height-wise. And you've got four of them. Some are bigger than others. And then you can have 7, 8, 9 enemies and everyone's throwing their spells and then you've got tornadoes going, there's traps swinging down and it can be chaotic, but that's part of the fun as well. Just like, fucking Jesus, it's so much fun. But then each quest zone has like little mini objectives and all that. So there was a mission I was going through, I think it was a cathedral, rescuing girls that had been kidnapped. For some reason, all these girls kept getting kidnapped from a nearby town.
Mm-hmm.
The vampires are kidnapping them to turn them into vampires. So they're following you through the level and you fight vampires, but the vampires can bite them and turn them into a vampire as you're trying to rescue them. So you're trying to legitimately, it's not like kill the enemies and get to the end of the level. It's like, no, I need to protect them or I lose the bonus objective and that kind of stuff. At the end of each mission, you get a rating, like how well you did, because there's a score counter up the top.
A, B, C, D, yes.
Yeah. You don't get any XP unless you finish the level either.
Oh, wow.
So it does kind of, it feels like you can do a level and go, this is a bit too hard. I'm going to do the last level a couple more times.
Mm-hmm.
But because of how everything changes in the level, you don't feel like you're grinding the same thing over. And the boss at the end is always the same, but how you get there is very different.
Awesome.
Very cool game. Like, very just dungeon finding. And you can play online as well. Like, you can find groups online if you want to.
Cool,
play with other
real
people.
Cool.
But I do want to try, like, my next save. I'm going to choose all the other options that I've chosen so far. But also kind of try to play by myself without any party members.
Oh.
Up the challenge.
Does the difficulty scale depending on how many party members you have?
No. But it is quite hard even with four party members.
Okay.
But I feel like a lot of the difficulty is from lack of being able to fully see what's going on. And kind of being, having more party members makes enemies a bit more unpredictable. Like, if it's just you, you know, well, they're going to come at me. Whereas party members, you know, this one might be up here doing this and that one's attacking that one over there. So it makes it hard to judge kind of what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like playing by yourself might be a bit more of a challenge, but a bit more rewarding as well. But it's a very rewarding game. You know, the combat's nice and sharp. Like, you feel the hits. And the art style is really what got me to start with. Like I said before, it's a little bit, sometimes you look at one of the girls and go, okay.
No, boobs.
Okay, because like the merchant, for example, is wearing one of those tops that's like just a cross over the nipples, you know what I mean? But her avatar, which takes up 80% of the screen, is from like belly button facing up, you know what I mean? So you're like, yeah, okay, righto. But same thing with like the male characters too. The dwarf, for example, he's just as wide as he is tall with just fucking muscle and like
over the top character design. Yeah,
they're very over the top, but it fits the aesthetic and it doesn't take away from the experience. It's just, you know, it's very cool. I highly recommend. It's well worth the price. And because you can also still cross play with people on the Vita and the PS3 as well.
That's awesome.
And if you did happen to play it 5 years ago now, you can bring your character up and keep doing that. It's very cool.
So Dragon Crown Pro is available right now. Sure. All your good retailers and stores and stuff.
What about you?
Well, my week's been a little bit quieter. I have been playing more God of War, still chipping away at that plat. I'm now 5 Valkyries deep. I finished Niflheim, the smog one. Mm-hmm. That was fun. That was a good grind.
I didn't mind. A lot of people thought it really killed the pace of the game, but I thought the opposite. It's like, well, no, now I can go at my own pace here.
Well, because I did it after the story,
I did the same thing. Yeah.
Then it didn't remove anything. Like, it's, for me, it was, I'm here to clear this area out. Yeah. Therefore, it didn't fuck with my like timing.
But I was thinking about that as well. I was thinking that, because, you know, like games like Skyrim, for example, it's like, you know, you're the Dragonborn, dragons are coming, and then you spend 100 hours
dicking about,
fucking killing farmers and stuff. But with God of War, your journey doesn't really have that timer on it. And I think that's what really helps with the pacing, is because every time you go do something else and Atreus is like, well, why are we doing this? He's like, you know, the gear we find here will help us on our journey. You know, all that kind of stuff. It's like, I'm not, like, me doing all these side missions aren't taking away from the pressure of getting the main mission done, because there is no time limit. Like, there is no rush to get that journey done.
It's all about getting the ashes to the mountain. Faye's already dead. She's not going to get any more dead. You know what I mean? Like, it's the only option is to go to bring it from A to B.
Yeah.
And because there's, yeah, because they said there's no rush, there's no urgency.
Yeah.
This is another thing that Santa Monica have done incredible with this. Yeah, but Niflheim was a lot of fun. It was, the grind was good. I hated those big fuck off blades. Everything else was fine.
Oh, that were right.
But well, yeah, once you get that upgraded armor that kind of absorbs a lot of that, I could do a full run of it in no time at all.
Did you get the talisman as well?
No, I didn't get the talisman.
There's a talisman that where you can use it once every 40 seconds and it replenishes it as well.
Oh.
I got that early. I found I didn't even need it by the end of it.
Yeah, anyway. I would literally just do a run. I would stop, get the chests, whatever, punch my things. And then by the time I got around, I would have about 8,000 or something.
Yeah. Full run can net you between 6,000 and 8,000.
Yeah, so about, you know, 7,000 to 8,000 things. And I'm still got
half
of it.
And it only takes 10 minutes, if that, to do a full run as well.
Yeah, and then, you know, because the whole idea was you do have to get many tens of thousands of these to sort of clear out everything. But it felt good. Like, it was a good grind. I really enjoyed it. And it's good enemy variety. Like, you know, in the same lap you would get elves.
Yeah, the enemies change every time. Draga. So I always restarted it when it was the Revenants, so.
Yeah, fuck.
Anytime Revenants. I come out and there was Revenants here, I'm like, because if you just go back up to the safe place, it resets again. So I'd always reset it if there was Revenants. I can't be fine.
Yeah, like, it was procedurally generated, but also not. Like, when you do it enough times, you can understand, oh, I've done this one before. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of know where, because there's always that, the rune chest in there.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of, when you get there, you're like, yeah, I know. Up there, and there.
Yeah.
That's a good grind, though. I don't know. A lot of people, said it kind of killed the flow of the game, but I think the exact opposite. It was nice
if you play it after, yes.
Yeah, and I just chuck Netflix on while I'm...
Yeah, I was listening to podcasts, and I was just chipping away.
And it helped me get better at combat, too, because you're fighting all the time.
And you're constantly dodging.
Combat training. Look at that.
Yeah, it was good fun. I took out the Valkyrie in there, so that's five Valkyries down.
You done the Muspelheim?
That's what I've done. I'm up to like level 5.
Oh, there's only 6 levels, so you're...
Yay!
Awesome. The Valkyrie at the top.
Yeah.
Hardest one in the game. Other than what happens when you kill all the Valkyries,
Valkyrie Queen.
One in particular, that took me the longest. It was about 2.5 hours.
Shit.
I found the thing that, because there's a thing that killed me every time and it was making me mad, but then I figured out the thing that stopped that thing from happening. Ooh. Not going to tell you what it is, though. You can figure that out yourself.
Damn. But yeah, so I've cleared out pretty much Niflheim, which is essentially the challenge modes from previous games. Yeah. It's like a tower challenge, just like, you know, 6 levels and each of them have three waves. It's like kill 100 enemies.
The trophy, you have to do all the hard mode ones. Because there's a trophy for finishing
the trials. I just did whatever it was.
Yeah, there's a trophy because when you get to the top.
Yeah.
It unlocks doing them again, but in hard, like a harder mode.
Okay.
There's one in there that just drew me fucking insane. It was
shit. I was kind of hoping that would get the trophy.
It was survive like 6 waves. One of the ones that survived 6 waves without taking any damage.
Yeah.
And that one nearly broke me. It made me think I'm just not getting the plat anymore.
Yeah. Well, so I want to get the plat, so I'm gonna have to push through. Damn it.
But you might get it first go. But I don't know. I think I've been playing for about 10 hours at that point, so I think I was just kind of done.
Burnt out by it. But yeah, so stepping away from PlayStation, I've been playing State of Decay 2. Xbox Australia sent us the code through that one, so thank you. It's like The Walking Dead with community management, micromanaging things. So you have like your little home base where you have to keep these people happy and alive while you're off expanding the map and getting more things, and
that is not my kind of game at all.
I enjoy it because it's the same. It's the similar zen to like I get from farming games. It's like small
except for the man eating.
It's like small zombies. Objectives. It's like do a little thing, go here. It's the same. This is what I find really interesting. So with the two first party releases that Xbox have done this year, they're both almost fetch quest games. Like Sea of Thieves was go there, do a thing, come back. Go there, do a thing, come back. State of Decay, go there, do a thing, come back. Go there, collect a thing, come back. Like, which is fine, but when both games are the same, like, what are you doing?
They'll figure it out.
E3
is something big.
Something big.
But we're not here to talk about Xbox.
No, but the game's really fun. Last night, I streamed it, sipping on some whiskeys, got a little buzzed, and bit worse for her. But that was good. So that was a good kind of game to sort of sit and have a bullshit with the chat, because the game's, although not incredibly intense to watch, it allowed good conversation. I can still sort of piss around and do what I was doing. And I've also been playing another game, which I can't talk about because of embargoes. But get excited.
I'm thinking that would have made a good segue into the main topic, but we couldn't really hold that.
Yeah, no, that's all right. So anyway, that's what we've done, talking about what we've been playing, which probably went longer than usual. Sure. We're moving into the news, where we tell you about what's happened this week in the PlayStations.
Hang on.
What? you're getting messages from your son in the other room?
Yeah, Alex is in the other room. I brought a big bag of chips in the car.
Yeah.
Because he's always hungry when we finish.
Yeah.
I said, bring it in with you. He said, nah. And now he's like, can I go get it because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
That's right. After the news, I'll quickly run down there and help him. Okay. 5 bits of news this week. Number one, Blackout. Is Call of Duty Black Ops 4's Battle Royale mode, Treyarch announced at its Black Ops 4 reveal event. The mode will be available in Black Ops 4 at launch and features a map 1,500 times bigger than an average Call of Duty map.
Incorrect. 1,500 times bigger than Nuketown, to be exact.
That's not as impressive. Blackout brings the Black Ops universe together by integrating parts of different multiplayer maps into its own and playable characters from Black Ops games, including zombies characters.
Really cool.
As you said in our messenger chat, the day PUBG died.
Yeah, look, so PUBG is dead. Now with Call of Duty on this, PUBG, like, although this is going to have the sillier side of, because it's Call of Duty multiplayer, it's not grounded as much. Like, although we had Call of Duty World War One last year, World War Two, sorry, that was grounded, very serious, not so. And they're like, hey, guess what? You love that. Guess what? We're back to the future. Fuck you. And so it's all back to the silliness and the kind of over exaggerated weaponry, and which is fun. And I think
that if you're going to do a battle royale mode, that's what you need, though.
Yeah, that's
what separates Fortnite. So
exactly.
Much.
And that will add to this. That will add to this Blackout mode.
Yeah.
I think it will probably. Cause the thing is, it'll already run better.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Guaranteed. And bringing in all the other characters from, like, the zombie modes. Like, yeah. we could be, I think Kevin Smith was in the Black Ops 3 zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum was in there. Yeah. Ron Perlman was in there. David Tennant was in there. Like, that's going to be a big fuck off match.
I think the main thing with it is just the gunplay. Like, the gunplay in COD is pretty damn tight. And PUBG just feels like wet noodles. To me, anyway, I know a lot of people love it, but it's just not there.
I still think the full-blown military serious of like what PUBG somewhat tries to do...
That'll be covered by
It'll be stomped by Battlefield. Yeah, I truly think Battlefield will really kill PUBG.
Because they have announced that the next Battlefield is called Battlefield 5
at
this point. And, you know, it's all... But the thing is with this, though, is that Activision got theirs announced first.
Yeah.
Like, officially. So that's up to the guys at DICE to, you know, try to pitch it a bit differently, because it'll just be like, well, Call of Duty's getting one, now Battlefield's getting one, when truth is they've probably both been developed for, you know, about a year at this point at least, so.
What I do love, though, is there's a lot of great little jokes. You know, as everyone says, you know, Battle Royale is the word for this E3. Netflix Australia and New Zealand posted, do we need a Battle Royale mode? Everyone's like, yes.
Yeah. Where you take a character from all the Netflix originals.
Yep, and then just fight them out.
Together.
Yeah, look, I'm honestly keen to check it out.
I'm keen to check it out.
Yeah. Hopefully, I'll say, oh.
Because what kills...
I was going to say, it'd be playable in EB Expo, but EB Expo is now PAX, and this will be, and PAX is after it's already released, so...
But what kills me in Fortnite is the building. Like,
yeah,
I'm
not good at it.
I can build... But not in the way some of these people build. And that's what really... Like, when it comes to just having a shootout with someone, I normally do pretty well. I normally come out on top. But when it comes to having build battles and stuff, it's just not for me. No. And PUBG is just too clunky for me to get into. So maybe...
Yeah. And all those network lags you get...
As much as cynical as I am, I'm like, oh, yeah, of course COD's having a battle royale, you know. But, you know, we kind of need it. We need that top level, more
someone
serious
to, someone to do it real right.
Someone to do it properly, yeah. I mean... In that style, because Fortnite have done it properly. Yeah. You know what I mean. Number two, we haven't talked about the Vita for a long time.
It's not even in this room.
And it's always set. Yeah, it is. It's right there.
That's PSP. It's not in this room because I was playing God of War on it, so it's in the
room. Okay. Sony's reportedly ending production of physical cartridges for the PlayStation Vita. Kotaku reports Sony American and European branches plan to end cart production by the close of the fiscal year 2018, although digital distribution of games will continue. Sony's 2018 fiscal year ends March 31st, 2019. According to Kotaku, the news was revealed in a message Sony sent game developers, in which Sony asked all product code requests be submitted by June 28th, 2018. That's pretty soon cut off. Purchase orders entered by February 15 of next year. A rep from Sony has confirmed to IGN that the Vita physical cart production will definitely be ending, and Kotaku's report is accurate.
Oh, man.
Oh, I mean, it's not exactly a surprise. Do you know, every single time I've gone to EB Games for the last 3 years, I check the Vita games, hoping someone's traded in Persona 4 Golden, and I can buy it.
Have you checked the eBays?
I can get it off eBays and stuff, but I'd rather just buy it. Yeah. You know, I don't need it because I've already got it digitally. I want a copy. So anytime I'm near EB Games, I'll be like, do they have it? No. And it's not a surprise.
See, what I'm still hoping for is for the collection, because I have everything. Right, like as I have the original OLED Vita, I've got PS2s, PS1s, PS3, all of it. Right, but the only things I don't have is like I don't have the slim PS the Vita, and I'm trying to debate whether, with everything sort of wrapping up, it's going quiet. Like, should I jump in now before it gets super expensive?
Before it becomes a legacy item.
Yeah, because like I need the PSP Go as well. No, that dumb invention. Yeah. And that's like 200 and something bucks. I'm like, fuck, I might as well just spend that money on like get the slim Vita.
Yeah.
But
you may as well.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I think it's already at the death rattle. Death's already there, gone.
That was there ages ago.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how long they keep up the digital stuff for. I mean, PS3 is still going after 7 years. Let's see. How far are we in the PS4 life cycle now?
PS3.
PS4?
PS4. 4 years?
But there's no end in sight for the PS3. So I imagine they'll keep the Vita distribution up for quite a while at this point.
Yeah, because it doesn't cost anything to have it up there. The PS3 store still exists, so.
Number 3, Devolver Digital will be hosting a big fancy press conference for E3 2018. The press conference will be held on June 10th at 8 p.m. PT, 11 p.m. ET, June 11th, 4 a.m. for the UK, and 1 p.m. Australian Standard Time on Twitch. Devolver Digital promises this year's conference will feature, quote, actual game reveals, but has warned viewers to also expect blood and possible loss of life. The publisher held its first ever E3 conference last year, which was the conference of
that show. Shit. It insane.
Was so good.
It was a complete take the piss of everything that had come before it.
And it held like nothing. Like there was no like, was that a subtle dig at, you know? It was like, no, you are punching them in the face.
And there's that woman who starts talking, and bit by bit her face just starts bleeding.
She was great.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
She just went all in. And it was just crazy to see. And I think, what happened to the guy? He's like, lost his hand when he like threw money at his screen and like bit his hand off, like bite the hand that feeds you and stuff like that. Dude, it was an amazing press conference. It'll be cool to see them show actual games this time. But I'm going to imagine the amount of sass is still going to be about the same.
Yeah, because
it won't be as impactful because we've already kind of seen it at this point because it was so unexpected last year. But it'll still be a good watch.
So Devolver do real good. Obviously, they have their Devolver games, but they're also a great publisher now, and they're publishing a lot of really rad games. Like the amount of emails we get from their local PR with all these games that Devolver are working with or helping publish, I'm like, fuck, man, you guys are kicking ass.
Going hard, yeah.
It's good to see.
Yeah, they deserve to be front and center, I think.
Correct.
It'll be great. Great one.
I'll see if I can fit it into the Shedge, and I might stream it as well.
The Skedge is effed. Number 4. The Division 2 will arrive before April 2019. Ubisoft revealed the time frame for the sequel in the company's 2017-2018 earnings report. The Division 2 was announced in March, though details were sparse at the time. E3 next month is set to be the game's big unveiling. Now, The Division 2, along with The Crew 2, won't be the only big games for the company within the next 12 months. Ubisoft also mentions an unannounced franchise title will come out before guaranteed Division 2 by April 2019. That's cool.
That's good. Real good.
It'll probably be April 2019.
Well, it depends. I said that before because they said it's
coming arrived
within,
before
within the next 12 months. So it could be the end of this year. It could be early next year. Like there's any point within that. Which is
I don't think it'll be this year because they still have Division 1 updates scheduled until I think October or November this year.
Therefore it's early next year.
So I think it'll be early next. They'll give it a couple months. You know, here's the final update. Enjoy it.
Ubisoft
for a couple
have a lot of success with releasing in March. So like where they had like Ghost Recon was March.
I had more to that. Speculation suggests that the game could be, I don't know what that means, Splinter Cell which was notably listed by on Walmart Canada, as we said last week. A game called Skull and Bones was supposed to release Watch this Dogs year too.
Or Assassin's Creed, apparently.
But has been delayed 2019.
Yeah, so Skull and Bones was there, like, with Sea of Thieves being announced. Like, there was the whole, fine pirates. And they're like, hey, this is like 2 years ago. They're like, hey, Skull and Bones, super serious pirates.
Yeah.
And I forgot about it. And yeah, then I was like, oh, what happened to Skull and Bones? And then literally the next day, it's like, it's coming, like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, well.
I am super keen.
It'll be Splinter Cell.
Yeah, I hope it's Splinter Cell. But if you want to speculate, you can with us and watch with us live, because I and Josh, for some of them.
You're talking about E3?
Yes, E3. Yeah. I'll be streaming and live reacting to all the E3 conferences, even the ones that are just videos. I'll do them then and there, because it's
fucking
funsies.
Insane.
Because I'm insane, and I'm dedicated, and I do it for them likes, do it for them views.
I'll be here for the PlayStation one, but I'm not going to fucking drive home and drive back 8 times in 3 days.
No, fuck that noise. I mean, yeah, unless there's any that really jump out and you're like, okay, well, I think the Square one would be probably interesting to you.
Not at 4 in the morning.
Not at 4 in the morning, though. It's a video. Just watch the next day.
I'll just read a recap, I think.
Yeah, or just watch my reaction. Please.
And last bit of news, top selling games for the week ending 13th of April 2018. Number 10, NBA 2BA 2K18.
2BA.
That's what I wrote. FIFA 18, number 9, number 8, COD World War 2, number 7, Rainbow Six Siege, number 6, GTA 5, number 5, Crash Insane Trilogy, number 4, Destiny 2, number 3, Conan Exiles, number 2, Far Cry 5, number 1, God of War.
Man, I've heard some good things.
Do you think this is the last week, God of War at the top?
Potentially.
For Detroit?
I think maybe. So
I'm waiting for that music video. And put your hands up for Detroit, and there's kind of like,
So Conan Exiles, that's not what you think it is, but we'll get to that.
That?
Yeah, it's not what you think it is.
Oh, it's not either.
But I have information about that, so get out of the drop, not of the drop yet, you crazy person.
Wow, this week is huge.
But that's coming in time. But anyways, so where are we going? Yeah, so Conan Exiles apparently is like an MMO sort of thing, kind of like Ark. Kind of like it's Ark mixed with something else, but the whole idea is one of the characters your character creator things. How you've got like muscle and head size and arm size. One of them is dong size.
Yeah, because they had Age of Conan was an MMO probably 10 years ago at this point. And yeah, you could take the man's pants off and just have that big fat willy flopping around.
Yeah, so I was listening to another podcast. I'm talking about this story about they're like, well, we'll check this game out. They just start walking through this jungle. There's a dude building a house with this giant wang. Yeah. He turns and he's like, goes back to building with his giant wang. Yeah. And then they're like, all right. So they get wandering off the company. He's like, hey, you want to come see my house? Dong's still out. Yeah. Just huge. Yeah.
That's what some of the appeal was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Having full frontal nudity and stuff like that.
It's still pretty funny.
I'm sure I think the female characters were the same as well. But the gameplay was fucking
now gorgeous. Did you enter a run and feed your child?
Huh? Oh, yeah. BRB.
All right. Hey, guys. While he's off running, I'm going to tell you... you can edit it after this. I probably should mention this at the start. For those who don't know, we've hit 1,000 subscribers on this channel. So what we're doing to celebrate is we are doing a 12-hour stream from June 2nd. So from 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. we'll be doing a live for the players. We'll be doing a live E3 predictions. We'll also be playing a ton of games. We've got I think Rainbow Six Siege is lined up in there. We've got Overcooked. We've got Josh will be playing some Gwent. There'll be a ton of cool things in there. We've got a bunch of giveaway items as well. So thanks to the lovely people at Ubisoft, we've got some stuff from them. We've got some Nintendo things. We've got some PlayStation things. We've got a bunch of things in the works to all give away. And we've got Ethan from Technology and Gaming building a custom controller for someone.
Not me.
Not you.
Not my son, because he's asleep.
Well, that solves that eating problem.
Sure does.
That's what he gets. He slept 4 fucking hours last night.
Stomach acid eat itself.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, come join us here on the YouTubes from 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. Should be a fuck ton of fun. You'll be there for about half it, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, your little one. Your little one. He's like 38. Yeah. You've got your
Dad, son. I want to go home.
Get your license, boy. So Josh will be here for about half of it. Dylan will be here for a little bit. But, our good friend Dave will be there, all of it with me. We'll have a bunch of guests come in. Jono will be coming from 8-Bit and putting in work. And Paul will be there from Player 2. It's going to be a good bit of funsies.
Well, that's it for the news. And Ryan filling in time as I walked away. Now, Ryan, let's have a chat to the players about embargoes. I wanted to extend that, but I think I'd just rather get straight to the point. Embargoes.
Yeah.
The state of embargo. I mean, the state of embargoes.
For those who don't know, tell the crowd what the embargoes are.
Oh, you tell them.
Cool. So embargoes.
You're the one that reads like 8 of them a week.
So embargoes are written, sort of essentially written agreements between two parties where particular information can or cannot be disclosed. So if it's particular with games, the embargoes are you cannot provide reviews or impressions or whatever their stipulations are up until said date. And even in that embargo, they might say even after this date, don't mention these things for spoilers or whatever. It's an agreement that we have as content creators with publishers and with PR people to sort of part of the deal. Here's a game, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this. Why do you want to bring something in particular though?
Well, I can't talk about why I wanted to bring it up in particular.
Mm. Yeah.
Because of this. Just, there's been a rise recently in much, much, much tighter embargoes or press copies being held until too close to release to provide any content. I just want to talk about why that may be.
Okay.
You'll probably have more to say about it than I do.
That's why you go first.
Most likely. I want to know, I'm asking you.
Yes.
Let's look at Bethesda as an example, who are no longer providing press copies.
This is old news. This has been around for a year and a half now.
Maybe we can reiterate on it after this particular title is out, because we can't talk. Because of the embargo, we can't discuss what kind of causes
the conversation. Even the embargo is embargoed, so we can't talk about that embargo.
We can't say what's in the embargo. That's fucking weird. But yeah, let's use Bethesda as an example, like withholding games until a day before press release.
See, even that's a little bit sketchy. So a couple of years ago, I think it was around the release of Doom and Skyrim Remastered, so not last year, the year before, they sort of made the announcement that they would only provide press copies, you know, a day before release. This is to... That's not more of embargoes, that's more of code delivery. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But the idea being that everyone would experience the game at the same time. Mm. However, with that, they would then give the games to influencers like YouTubers and whatnot and Twitch streamers earlier, ones that they know could say favorable things, but not like critical reviews press would get it a day earlier.
But the embargoes, even when we get some games with embargoes, sometimes the embargo won't lift until like the night of or the night before. And to me... most of the time that says we don't have a lot of confidence in this title.
Well, that's sort of what we want to talk about. Like, what does the state of that embargo mean for that game? Mm-hmm. So a particular example, there was like Assassin's Creed, right? This is Assassin's Creed Unity, I think it was. The embargo for that game was actually 6 hours after it released.
Why was that, Ryan?
Because the game was broken.
Game was fucking hot.
Yeah.
Mess.
So in the past, there has been reasons as to like. Evidence as to why you would think a publisher or a PR company wouldn't have the embargo afterwards. But
afterwards is bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, but that blows.
Before we get into
mind.
That, though, I want to talk about like the positives of the embargo. So then we can sort of add on to that. So the embargo is designed with one thing in mind. The idea being, obviously, one, hold the message until it's okay, and allowing an even playing field. The big thing for us is we... As small YouTubers, compared to IGN, compared to all the big guys, we all follow the same embargo. So what it does, it closes down the playing field. So IGN, where they have people that could play the game literally 24/7 until the embargo. If we all got the game on, say, Monday, there was no embargo, IGN would have the capability to get that review out the next day.
We, on the other hand,
wouldn't. So by them saying the embargo is next week,
but there are
that gives
a
us
few
that,
other things
yeah.
come into play with that, because a lot of the time,
that's the whole,
IGN,
that's the
idea. But a lot of the time, you know, IGN and GameStop will get their codes 2 weeks before, and then the smaller ones get it a few days before.
Yeah, look, don't get me
and
wrong.
So the embargo is there, obviously, so everyone can put out content at the same time. But you know, you're not. It doesn't matter. If we get... I'm not trying to sound entitled, but if we get the code 3 days before release and everyone else has had it for a week and a half, we may as well have not gotten it at all at that point. You know what I mean? So while it is there to level the playing field with all that, there's more to it than just give everyone the code 2 weeks early.
Yeah, look, don't get me wrong. Of course there is priorities and a list of people in terms of like who gets codes first. Like, if we got a code somehow before fucking Kotaku, I'd be like, are you sure? You know what I mean? Like, as an example, I'm like, you wouldn't why? Question it. Oh, no, I wouldn't question it. I'd be like, thank you.
Not out loud, anyway.
Yeah, but I'd be like, why haven't they got it yet?
You thank know? You, bye.
But we never know that. We never know when they get it. You know, one thing that's happened a lot recently with embargoes is they've also added a little clause that when you're allowed to disclose that you have the game. So there is this weird thing going on right now where a lot of people like to announce the fact they have a copy.
I know
of the game,
how
really.
Like.
I did it for the latest titles we've had, because
did you?
Yeah, I did. I did not. Fuck this. No, only because I saw everyone else did it. I'm like. We're trying to be a prominent, one of the most prominent places.
No, but that's our thing here. Is that we don't brag, you know.
There's a big difference between me going, "Hey, woo!" and going.
Thanks to person I've tagged from PR company in this Facebook status.
Yeah. So rather than that, it's just more like, "Hey guys, heads up, we have a copy as well. When the embargo drops, you know you can get it from us." Which is in that way, I kind of like it. That way, you know, because once again, little guys, if we go, hey, we've got hands on this. You'll hear from us soon. I don't know about you, but if I had like, I'm like, oh fucking A. Like, especially if it's a little guy.
Okay.
And I'd be like, oh, that's real cool. Because like, if IGN like, we have the X game. I'm like, okay.
Oh really?
Really? Woo!
Surprise!
Yeah, that's not a big deal. But you know, when I hear like, you know, buddies of ours that are like, hey, they make status, we've got the game too. I'm like, fucking hey, cool.
Yeah.
You know, and that part, and it helps you get the hype up with your audience, which is really good. So it gets that little bit of a, you know, oh shit, this game, you know.
But so I see that review. It sucked.
It's a little weird. It's such a weird thing because it's only really recently, and I think it sort of come as a backlash because I know there was a while ago, there was a bit of an confrontation with some people announcing they've got a code nearly, and then some bigger people were like, why does this shitbox channel have, you know, like, not the exact conversation here. I'm paraphrasing from what I know, but the whole idea is, yeah,
why do they get it first and I should get it first?
Yeah, which
I
is
want
you
it now.
never do. As even small time media, big time media, you never do that. Like, I know one particular Australian big channel that does it all the time. They'll always make some sort of like passive aggressive post if they don't get a game.
Why we're not reviewing blah.
Exactly.
Because they didn't give us a code.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not cool.
Fuck off, mate. But the crux here is when you have the embargo so close to release date, to me, that's just like red flags. Like, something is wrong with this game. You don't have confidence in it. It'll be pushed as like a, we don't want spoilers on the internet early. It's a story-driven game and we don't want to have, you know, the ending leaked and that kind of stuff. But the people that would get leaked for, I think, pales in comparison to the people who might not buy it at all because they couldn't get impressions early enough on release day. Because release day sales are super important. And if the embargo is not until release day, then that's going to stop people from pre-ordering because they're going to wait until they can see. So you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot either way.
Yeah.
But majority of the time, if the embargo is like, you know, yeah, midnight of release day, the embargo drops, to me, I'm just like, well, I'm not getting this game.
Yeah. I think there is a fine line.
Because Bethesda, everyone was like that with Doom, and then Doom came out and people were like, this game is fucking amazing. Mm. Which was like, well, why did you hold it so much, you know? So it can mean the complete opposite. Bethesda, like, we have so much confidence in Doom that we feel like we can do this and not be affected by it at all. And they are right, because Doom was incredible.
Still incredible.
Just, yeah, well, to you, yeah, the music for you.
Yeah, the music is still good. Yeah, so I think it's a bit of a double-edged sword when it comes to embargoes and their timing. Like, I do certainly agree. Like, granted, in any embargo that I've ever read, they do very clearly state what you can and cannot talk about in your review, because that may cross spoilers. So in that embargo, they can still stipulate that, yes, it's a week out. Like, as an example, the embargo is a week before release, but you cannot and do not disclose any of this until the release day. Mm-hmm. And that part I'm okay with.
Atlus were like that with Persona.
Yeah, Atlus were like, you cannot stream past this particular time.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they were like, now you can't stream ever at all.
And like an example with Pokemon in the past, they've said, do not talk about these following Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, okay.
Or this town name.
Yeah.
Fuck does that matter, but okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing, and you know, you break it, you've just lost your contact forever. Mm. Like you're blacklisted, you know, so they are super, super important.
Like, it's not a legally binding contract in any means.
No, but you get on the shit.
So there's two kinds. There's the embargo, which is more of a spoken agreement, and there's the NDA. An non-disclosure agreement is very different. That is a signed document that you can get fucked up with.
You'll go to jail, mate.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just seeing this trend lately, particularly with this game we might have now.
We mentioned that we have
it. It's just a strange embargo that it's, like, because it's out next week.
Hmm.
But we can't even
We can't even talk about when the embargo drops, which is fine. Like, so I don't have a concern. I think it's more of a case by case basis. When Assassin's Creed Unity, after four games have been pretty janky and they don't release until the same day, I'm like, there's a problem here. Your track record says otherwise. Where God of War, as an example, which, you know, the embargo was a week prior to release, one that shows incredible confidence in the game, but also I think that with God of War as an example, people, once again, not having such a strong reception to the previous games, that it was done to sort of be like, you're gonna want to pre-order this, as in, like, it's a week out. Here, like, week out, you'll see the scores, and you're gonna rush to get this.
I did.
Exactly. You know, like, I know people that have been like, I didn't know I wanted it until I saw those scores. I'm like, I guess I got to pick this up.
Yeah.
And I think the embargo also helps with the hype, right? You know, it can also help push that out. Because, like, I myself, there are games that, you know, we don't have access to, and that's fine by us. You know, and I'll still check out the reviews.
That's fine by us.
No. We are very lucky for the size that we are to get the access that we have. So, like, we are incredibly grateful. Like, do not consider this video as bitching and whinging by any means, because I guarantee I am not in any. So I'm incredibly grateful. It's more of a discussion. So, like, I always wondered, so how it affects consumers, right? Like, us as content creators, it's fantastic. It gives us that even playing field, as I mentioned. It gives us an advantage. It gives us a time frame to work with, which I really like.
Mm.
You know, and as I think it's great for us comparative to the bigger guys. For consumers, I think it lets them know a lot about the game that is happening, what they're going to get. I think that's kind of cool.
What?
I don't know where I was going with that.
You know who did know where you're going with that? The community, because you reached out.
I did reach out to the community, and we got a lovely string of responses from two fine fellas. One, our good friend Buddy Watson, who works in games media, quote unquote, but doesn't. He's still a little guy. He doesn't have access to a lot of the things. And then we've got my buddy Zach from Well Played, who has been doing this for years and has many, many contacts and has read many, many embargoes. So let's go. They've had a bit of conversation with each other. So let's jump from this one. So Buddy jumps in and goes, embargoes in general are a good thing. Creates fairness on release instead of getting advantages or disadvantages distributed based on who gets stuff distributed to them first, which is yes and no. Levels the playing field, as we mentioned, and actually support supply chain, as stuff sent early can guarantee everyone has it ready for release date, which creates a strong marketing launch. Being everywhere at once, stock sells more stock. That goes to further Buddy's point. It means mostly that you get a decent in-depth that you get decent in-depth coverage of said product instead of outlets crapping something out to be the first reviewer for clicks.
That happens anyway.
It still happens anyway sometimes. Embargo times matter also. If an embargo breaks after a game launches, as in it drops, you know they're worried about reviews in some regard. Doesn't mean they'll think it'll be trash, but they want to cash in on it as many pre-orders as possible. Most, quote, good games you will give customers a day or two before launch. Unless you're Sony and you're given a week.
Mm.
which is rad. Buddy also jumps in a couple of different things. The great embargo early examples are Metal Gear Solid 5's lifting on the 24th of August, which was Kojima's birthday, with the game releasing on the 1st of September, and obviously more recently God of War. Showed extreme confidence in what they had and used it as a tool to generate more buzz and hype. Star Wars Last Jedi broke embargo this year of physical release, and it came out on a Saturday instead of a Monday. So when I came to work and saw the stand had stock out on Sunday, I was really panicking and raced to someone to say what the fuck and why is it out. And Zach says, you also know if review codes aren't distributed early after the release, then something is up.
I agree with all that.
I completely agree. And so, like, all of them sort of, they sort of said, mirrored what we said in the good and the bad. I think embargoes are fine. I think it's part of the biz. I think the embargo...
The idea of them is fine.
The idea is fantastic. They can be misused. I'm yet to deal with one that's misused. Mm-hmm. We've been pretty lucky. The ones we've dealt with have been relatively fair and straightforward. But I can certainly see why that would be crap. What do you think of embargoes? You as the, you know, we've got some other media buds that sit and watch these videos. Let us know what you think in the comments below, as well as those that are just some good old consumers. Let us know what you think. And then we move into, man, I'm really,
where's the segue there?
There is no hangover there because, like, I'm in my head. I need to get some foods in me. This is where we move into the next section, which is called coming to the players. Oh, can you do it? It's got a gnarly headache. Just go.
Really?
Mid-sentence, yeah. That was rad.
Well, embargoes for games that are coming out in the future, but the game's coming out still in the future, but sooner in the future than embargoed games for the future. It's a drop coming to the players for the week of 25th of May 2018. No, not the 25th of May. What's Monday? The 21st of May 2018. Seven's Scarlet, PS Vita Digital. This one got me. Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, PS4, PS Vita Digital.
Heads up, this is my...
I saw Bloodstained and thought Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, which I'm incredibly hyped for, but that's not it.
No, okay, so Bloodstained Ritual of the Night is the bigger game. This is what their big 3D Castlevania is what they're trying to aim for. Bloodstained Curse of the Moon is one of the Kickstarter goals. If they said, if we get enough, we'll make this game and this...
Oh, it's right there. Brought to you by game creator Koji Igarashi.
Yes.
I'm so hyped and then bummed. But then I'm hyped again.
So what's great about this is, it's 2D. It's, I believe, side-scrolling. Very old school. So, and what I love about it's it as well is
spiritual successor to Castlevania.
They're straight up pillaging different Castlevania names. There's like, I think there's Curse of the Night or something, and there's a couple of different variants, and they've clearly Symphony of the Night, and they've clearly picked a couple of the different variants. Yeah. I think Castlevania 3 is Curse of something. I don't know, like they've picking shows and then they've just sort of do what they did with you and go,
No, great, that's sick. Coming in Vita too.
But yeah, no, that looks very, very cool.
Yeah. Dark Souls Remastered, PS4 digital and retail.
Here it runs really good.
Yeah, it's Dark Souls. Defender's Quest Valley of Forgotten DX. I wonder if they mean like Triple H and X-Pac. D-Generation X.
Holy shit.
You didn't get the joke. It's like the Valley of Forgotten DX, and then you find them and they're like... You're fucking pedigreed.
It's like this lovely fantasy story. we found them. Beautiful.
Spits water in your face and shit. Detroit Become Human, PS4 digital and retail.
Woo!
Out on the 25th. Do I read the thing?
Yeah.
Detroit Become Human is the latest
title second party release
in development by Quantic Dream that expands on the studio's legacy of gripping, narrative-driven experiences. Discover what it really means to be human in a powerful emotional journey made of choice and consequences.
As you mentioned on the social medias, we do have a copy of that. So when the embargo does drop, you'll hear from us.
I thought the embargo said we couldn't say we had it.
Nope, the embargo says we can have it, we can't talk about the embargo, and we can't tell you when the embargo drops.
Right.
But we can say that we have it, and you'll get...
I was under the impression we couldn't even say we had it, that's why I avoided it so heavily in the last discussion. Disco Dodgeball Remix, PS4 digital. Dungeon Rushes, PS4 digital. Everspace, PS4 digital. Gorogoa.
No, Gojira!
holy shit. H1Z1 Battle Royale.
PS4 digital. But there's a closed beta up and running right now, actually.
I had no idea. Yeah. That's You've missed your chance, mate. Sorry.
Sorry. You're the first battle royale, like, you know, as in apart from Fortnite. It's, you know, it's PUBG. Because PUBG is a was essentially a mod to H1Z1. So they beat PUBG to PlayStation.
I hate running backwards, PS4 digital. So do I. One Piece Grand Cruise, PSVR digital. Pixel Junk Monsters 2, PS4 digital. Shio, PS4 digital. Space Hulk Deathwing Enhanced Edition, PS4 digital retail. Stardew Valley for PS Vita with Crossbuy.
And it's Crossbuy. So if you already own it on PS4, guess what? You got it on the Vita.
Fuck yeah. Except I play that on the Switch.
Me too.
It's better on the Switch, sorry. Super Hyperactive Ninja, PS4 digital. Tennis World Tour, PS4 digital. Let's go a bit further down. PlayStation Music.
Which is Spotify, I think.
Rapture, various artists.
Okay.
That's a soundtrack from a Netflix thing. PlayStation Video, Annihilation.
I hear that Annihilation movie is batshit insane.
PlayStation View, Robot Chicken.
I don't think we have PlayStation View here in Australia.
No, we don't. Well, that was disappointing. I thought, oh, let's be exciting and go further down the drop. And then it
dropped off.
Dropped my excitement. That's it for the drop. As we move into the segment where we share with the players games, movies, books, and other forms of media we think you, the players, will enjoy. Ryan forgot about it again. Did you think of anything? No. Fuck's sake. Can you recommend Wild Turkey Honey, at least? That's what you got shit-faced on last night.
Yeah, I've totally been consuming Wild Turkey's honey. I love it. You put it in the freezer, so then, because, you know, it's alcohol, don't freeze. Mm. So it gets that nice chill on it. So when you put it in your glass with I picked up some of those little, like, ice rocks. What are they fucking called?
Yeah,
put them in there. Put that, you know, the glass gets icy.
Keep the glass in the fridge as well.
Yep. And then you sip on it. It's all nice and cold. And it's like, it gets a little syrupy. Mmm. It's beautiful. I love that shit. I drank way too much of that last night. Because, like, I don't drink that often. So when my tolerance for what it used to be is so much less.
That's the first alcohol review on For the Players. 18 plus.
Yeah.
Drive safely. Don't drink and drive.
Only because I haven't thought of anything else. What about, I'll look around the room.
That's fine. I'm going to recommend a book called Blindness by Jose Saramago. I've been reading it lately. The premise of the book called Blindness. There's a sudden influx on 95% of the population where they all go fucking blind.
Oh, shit. All right.
So the book follows various people kind of dealing with this. It's very dark.
Mm-hmm.
Very dark, just unsettling imagery. Everyone's blind. You know, a lot of them are locked up in asylums together where they can't do anything. You know, society starts falling apart because no one can do their job because they all can't see.
Makes sense.
Very cool premise, very cool book. Very unsettling. You know, you need to be ready. It's not a feel-good story so far. About halfway through. Blindness by Jose Saramago. Highly recommend to check that out. You go to the Dimmicks in Mourne Bonds if you really want it. That's my bookshop. That's where I go for my books.
Very cool.
Because I can go to EB Games at the same time.
Yeah.
And get sushi.
Oh.
I love my sushi.
Tick, tick, tick.
Tick, tick, tick. That PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. And if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
If you want to show the love of the pop culturist on your body, head to thepopculturist.com/shop where you can buy shirts like this one and a bunch of other ones that we have, and like mugs and pillowcase and that sort of stuff. We are also on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist we are affiliated, so you can come donate, subscribe, follow us, join in all the good times, have some play, some games, drink some whiskeys, have a very, very good thing. And also, don't forget, we are streaming from 12 p.m. 12 a.m. on the 2nd of June to celebrate a 1,000 subscriber mark here on YouTube. I'll be there, he'll be there, Dylan will be there, a bunch of people there, playing games, doing podcasts, maybe get some a bit of board games and make some Cards Against Humanity sort of stuff. We'll play a bunch of games with you, the community. And also, I can happily announce that during that stream, because I thought, why the fuck are we doing a stream that's just to jerk our own dicks? There's something we can do that's better. So, I reached out to a local organization. So, like, hey, you have similar interests to us in what we do. Is there any chance that we can do a stream? Maybe raise some money for you. So we reached out to Gen U, which is the mental health...
Sorry, I just need to clarify. You're saying we. I had no idea.
You had nothing. I represented the brand. We reached out to GenU. They do mental health support, mental health and disability support here in Geelong. In particular, their applied gaming program. So using the power of board games and soon to be video games, they are helping people, people with mental health issues and people that are on the spectrum, helping them, come out of their shell, understand things, be better social and just have a good time and do something a little bit different compared to the older style treatment for these things. So during our stream, we'll be giving away a ton of things, as I mentioned, but then we'll also be raising money for these guys. So there'll be a GoFundMe link or something that I'll arrange. But yes, if you want, please don't spend money on us. Spend some money on these guys. Help some people with the power of games.
And then spend money on us.
Like, if you've got two monies, give one monies here,
yeah,
and one monies here.
And if you've got three monies, you can put, do both and keep one.
Yeah, so you've got three monies, you were there, and then you put the monies back in there.
And then you take it out of there and give it to us.
And then you reinvest that monies in like a good bank account with a good interest rate. So then when a couple of years you come back and you've got two monies.
And you spend all that interest on merch.
Yeah. But anyways, until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For the Players.
With no monies.
With no monies.
We got no monies. Please help.